Okay, we are in a series called Win the Day. Win the Day. It's been a good series, and we're talking about just developing daily habits in our lives that help us grow closer to the Lord, right? We need those daily habits in our lives. Let me start today with a story. In 1847, okay, a little bit of time ago, in 1847, a Canadian politician named William Hamilton Merritt had a desire to promote trade between Canada and the U.S. Some of you might know this story. His vision to accomplish this was to build a bridge. Oh, yeah. It would have to be suspended over the Niagara Gorge. Okay? Niagara Falls here. You know what people said to that? Nope. That can't be done. This is impossible. Why would they say that? Because this was to become the world's first suspension railway that would need to easily carry a 23-ton train, and it had never been done in the world, anywhere. So there were some problems. The narrowest part of the gorge was 800 feet across, which is over 2.5 football fields. Okay, we kind of measure everything in football, right, guys? That's coming up. So you understand that. That's pretty big. That's pretty big right there. And it was 250 feet above the water. So this is a great vision that this man had, but how on earth are you able to even get started on something like that in 1847? How do you do what seems impossible to do? Well, Merritt decided to commission a civil engineer named Charles Ellet Jr. to get started. Ellet had the bright idea to organize a kite flying contest, right? And so he offered $10 to anyone who could successfully fly a kite with a string attached to it across the gorge and then tie that string to a tree on the other side. Pretty crazy, huh? People took him up on this offer, including some kids, and they tried and they failed until a young boy was finally able to fly his kite across the gorge, and it was tied off to a tree on the other side. And after that first string was established, what did they do? Ellet then tied a heavier line to it and pulled it back across. And then a heavier line to those and pulled it back across the gorge. And they did that until they could finally pull a nearly 1-inch cable across the gorge. Making some progress, huh? And all of a sudden, people were coming from all over to observe this modern-day marvel of construction in the mid-1800s of what they once thought to be impossible. I'm getting caught up in my string here. But here's my point. Look at this. The first string made all the difference. That one string led to the building of the first railway suspension bridge in history, able to support the weight and stress of a locomotive. And it far outweighed all expectations. It was able to carry up to 450 tons, and it averaged 50 trains a week. Pretty good idea, huh? One kite string started all of that. And here's what I'm here to tell you today. I know what God wants to do in your life. Are you ready? I know what it is. All right? He wants to do something great. He wants to build your trust in Him. He's interested in building your trust in Him. And that your trust in Him would be so strong that it would be able to support the weight and stress of a life dedicated to God. Because there's some stress and there's some weight put on a life dedicated to God, isn't there? It's not easy. Not easy. It's good, but it's not easy. How does that happen in our lives? That leads me to our next habit that you see up there. It's habit number 4. It's called fly the kite. Fly the kite. Here's what it means. If you want to do something great, you have to start small, okay? It's okay to start small. It's okay if God starts small. He doesn't want to give you too much to bear. But you can start small. Things that seem to be impossible can happen if they happen one step at a time. If you want your faith to be able to withstand the stress of life that comes at you like a freight train, it starts with one string. This is where it starts. And as a disciple, if you're a serious follower of Jesus, you're going to run across some challenging things in your life, things that seem impossible to tackle, things that make you want to quit, things that make you feel like you've failed, things that seem impossible, things that people will tell you, you'll never do that. You'll never accomplish that. You'll never be able to get there. And it will put a lot of stress on you, but that's why we have to learn to fly the kite. And this is one way that I fly the kite in my life, okay? When I read my Bible, okay, when I read my Bible, I do it one day at a time. Or you could say I do it one string at a time, okay, one string at a time. Here's what I'm doing. I'm flying the kite. I'm stretching a string out to the other side where God is, okay? And then I'm pulling back what God speaks to me, what I've learned for the day. I record it in a journal. Then I stretch out another string the next day, or maybe the day after that if I fell asleep the next morning. But, right, I stretch out another string. And I do this day after day. And I just wanted to show you, this is one of my journals here. This is the sixth journal, okay, from when I started going through the Bible. I now am halfway in my sixth journal, right? And the day that I'm on is 270. So what that means is I've stretched out the string. I've flown the kite 270 times so far through the Bible, since I started reading through the Bible. And I'm showing you this to prove it to you, okay? I don't want to preach something I'm not doing. I want to preach something I'm doing. And so, it's a good thing. It's a repeated thing. But here's what's happening in the process of doing that. Something is being built between me and the Lord. It's a relationship. And it's full of faith. And it's full of hope. And it's full of love. And it grows each day that I fly the kite. And then I stretch out the string. And the other thing that's happening, probably the most important thing that's happening throughout the whole process, is that it's building trust trust in God. You know, after they got that cable across the gorge, that one-inch cable, then they suspended that cable. They moved it. They were able to suspend it between two 40-foot wooden towers. And that allowed them to now attach this metal basket onto the cable. And that allowed them to start moving materials across the gorge so they could start working a little faster. Ellet himself climbed into the basket and went across the gorge. Right? Yikes. That takes a little faith. He went across the gorge, and because of that, people started paying to cross the gorge in the basket. It was the quickest way to Canada. Right there. Just required a little faith. Now, God wants to prove to you that you can trust Him. And that might mean that He places you in some precarious situations. Some tough situations. You might feel like you're dangling over Niagara Falls. Okay? But God can teach you through it. And that's why I want so badly for you to be in God's Word. To meet with Him every day. To keep stretching those strings out so you can grow with Him. Jesus teaches us a great lesson. And this comes out of, well, a lot of great lessons, right? But this lesson comes out of Matthew chapter 17. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 17. We'll have it up on the screen. Starting with verse 14 and going through verse 20. Here's what it says. Everybody there? You good? All right. Here's what it says, Matthew 17, 14 and 15 to start. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water." Now, he could have stopped right there, right? He asked Jesus what he wanted to ask, but he kind of throws the disciples under the bus here in the next line. "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't heal him." Well, thanks, dude. Thanks for I could have done without that criticism, right? Right in front of the Savior over here. Thanks for that. And then after this, Jesus responds with what seems like a bit of a harsh response. And he says, in verse 17, he says, "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Boom. Just took care of it. Now, it's kind of crazy because Jesus' disciples had actually done this kind of thing before, right? The Bible tells us that He sent them out, and they drove out many demons before this time. So what happened here? The disciples want to know, just like we want to know, what happened? And they ask Him in verse 19, it says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? How come they couldn't accomplish this task?" Before we get to the answer, it's really helpful in situations like this that you look in other places in the Bible as you're studying. Is this story somewhere else? And in fact, it is. It's in two other Gospels. It's in Mark chapter 9, and consequently, it's also in Luke chapter 9. Well, if you look in Mark, we're not going to read it. I've already done that, but you can go on your own time. Mark gives us a bit more insight into this scene and what's going on. He tells us there was a large crowd. There were also teachers of the law there. And there were disciples there. And they were all in this big argument. They were arguing with each other. But Jesus wasn't there. He was somewhere else. Where was he? He was actually up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that story? An incredible moment in the Gospels when Jesus is transformed like into his full glory. And he's up there on this mountain and he's with Elijah. And he's with Moses, and he's with three of his closest disciples, right? Peter, James, and John. And this is the moment Jesus is walking down from. This is the moment he's coming down out of, only to encounter all of these people just arguing. And what are they arguing about? I mean, probably some ridiculous thing. You know, probably over the fact that the disciples claimed to be followers of Christ, but, you know, they weren't able to cast out the demon. Or maybe, you know, arguing over the use of the name of Jesus, right? Or by what authority they claimed to do this. I mean, whatever they were arguing about, the truth is the teachers of the law were there and they couldn't cast out the demon either. Meanwhile, there's this man, and he's desperate. He's desperately trying to have someone heal his son, but nobody can do it, and everybody's just arguing. There's a similar scene. It's eerily similar to when Moses met with God on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. He was there for 40 days, right? And he was receiving the law. Only to come down and find that everyone was breaking the law before they could even get the final copy done. It's a lot like that, but this time Jesus comes down from this glorious moment. Right? He's the Prince of Peace. What does he find in his people? Just a bunch of arguing. In division. And that's not what Jesus wants to find when he comes and he shows up in your life. He doesn't want to find those things. Instead, he wants to find strong faith, right? Instead, he finds this uproar about who's right and who's wrong, who can heal, who can't. You know, it becomes a very public and rather embarrassing moment for the message. But Jesus doesn't put up with it. And so Jesus just instantly takes care of the boy, heals him, casts out the demon. You see, he can do anything he wants at any time. Boom. If he wants to do it, he can do it. Why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he do it right now in your life? You might be wondering. If he could do that as a snap of a finger, why doesn't he do that now? That's a question to wrestle with on your life. Well, the books of Mark and Luke end this story with everyone just standing in awe of Jesus. You just picture them all being silent, right? They were just all arguing and yelling at each other. Ah! And then it's just silence. But Matthew, where we are, Matthew gives us a little bonus footage. I love it. You get a little bit more of the story in Matthew. And I want you to notice in Matthew that Jesus speaks with his disciples privately after this. He doesn't publicly rebuke them, right, for any mistakes here. He meets privately with them to talk this out. It's not an embarrassment to Jesus that they couldn't do it. He's not embarrassed by that. How it was being handled, maybe he didn't like that so much. But not that they couldn't do it, right? This is a growth opportunity for the disciples. And we get the privilege of being let in on this little private conversation, courtesy of Matthew. For some reason, Mark and Luke didn't want us to know. But Matthew did. And I appreciate that. Let's start again. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Verse 20. He replied, in private, "Because you have so little faith." So little faith. "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." It sounds a little bit like a reprimand, but then it sounds a little bit like, wow, really encouraging too. It sounds a little bit like a contradiction, right? It's like Jesus is saying, you have a small amount of faith, but all you need is a small amount of faith to see big things happen. What he means is this: if you want to do what seems impossible, you have to firmly plant your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because just a little of that kind of faith does very powerful things in your life. But if your faith is planted in your own abilities, right? If your faith is based on your circumstances, if it's based on good arguments or on impressing crowds, basically, if your faith is based on you, then it's not even really faith. It's actually unbelief. And unbelief will always come up short in every situation. Unbelief is a faith killer. And that is what Jesus didn't have time for. He didn't have time for unbelief. Unbelief is what destroys the vision. It makes it never happen and never start. And the first string would never have flown across the gorge with unbelief. Right? I love that Merritt and Ellett, these two men, they looked at that gorge and they saw a bridge, while others just saw empty space. And our faith works in a very similar way. Faith is an uprooter of mountains. Okay? Faith in God sees the finished product instead of the possibility of failure. It takes the next step instead of stalling on what's impossible. And when Jesus said, "You can tell that mountain to move from here to there," he didn't mean real mountains, right? He meant the obstacles that you face in your life. These things can be moved out of the way. So how do you know you're growing in your faith? Here's a good test if you're growing in your faith. There comes a moment when you stop talking about, when you stop talking to God about the mountains, and you start talking to the mountains, right, about God. That's how you know you're growing. And you declare things about God to the mountains. You declare His power to your situation. You declare His grace to your situation. You declare His peace and His love and His glory and His goodness and his healing. That's how you start talking to that stuff. And you know you're getting stronger in your faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to read a quick portion of a psalm. Psalm 84. I've got it here, so just listen. Verses 4 to 7. It says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca." That actually means weeping. "So as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." See, this is a believer's life. This is a disciple's life. It means getting stronger and stronger, that they go from strength to strength. I love that part. It means getting stronger and stronger as you face hardships in life, as you tackle hardships in life, and as you build habits, and as you win the day every day, you get stronger and stronger, and you don't move from strength to weakness. You move from strength to more strength. And we are building a bridge, right? As an analogy here, we're building a bridge of trust between the Father and us. That's what He wants. How do you get started? When it comes to our spiritual lives, our faith doesn't begin able to handle a 450-ton load. It just doesn't start that way. But we have to establish the first connection with the Lord. We have to start the process. And I want to encourage you today that for some of us, you know, we have to get started. Get in the Word. Lift up a prayer. Spend some time with God this week like you've never done before. And for some of us, we have to get restarted. Because we used to be doing that and now we're not. But we can restart right now and keep connecting. And for some of us, we just have to keep on going. We have to continue the process. And the point of flying the kite is this: it establishes the relationship with God so that you have something to build on. Something to build on. Faith starts small. Okay, habits start small, but the potential is massive. And I'm convinced that this is why Jesus uses so many, you know, seed analogies in farming and, you know, and these seed analogies, because there's so much potential in a seed for growth, and there's so much potential in our faith for growth. It starts small, but it continually grows and it builds from strength to strength. Amen? Amen. Here's some closing thoughts that I have. As each day goes by, you know, I grow stronger and stronger in my knowledge of God and in my faith of God, and I learn to trust Him. I learn that He's not going to allow me to fall into that gorge. Eventually, all those strings that you're doing, this is not for nothing. All those days in the Word, all those prayers, they amount to something. That string faith turns into cable faith. Right? And that cable faith turns into massive bridge faith. And it keeps getting stronger, and we can carry a greater load for His kingdom. Plus, we have an enemy. Anybody been attacked by the enemy this week? You know what he wants to do? He just wants to be like, pop, phew, yeah. Cut that string off. Done. That person, they're not going to go back to God tomorrow. I'm just going to cut that string too. He wants to cut your strings, right? trying to cut the ropes right now. He doesn't even want you to walk away with anything. He wants to steal it away. But eventually that string faith becomes cable faith. And then what's he going to do? He's got to get the cable cutters. He can't just snip it so easy. Now he's like, I gotta damage this person. Have you ever done one of those, like, lock things? Man, those are hard. That's what Satan wants to do. But see, he can't do that because you keep flying the kite. And then eventually it becomes that massive bridge faith. And now he's just trying to destroy your life. So as you grow with the Lord, so do the attacks of the enemy, right? That's what's taking place in your life. But you got to keep going. You got to keep moving. Amen? Move from strength to strength. There is a chasm. There is a gorge between heaven and earth, right? And you've seen that the old pictures of the cliffs and the cross spanning it. No matter how hard we may try, there is no innovative way to cross that. You can't do it. The only way to cross it is to trust Jesus. That's why God wants so badly for you to trust in Him. That's why He's doing what He's doing in your life. He's building that trust. And He made a way. He built the bridge to heaven. He made the connection. And we can be confident that He will finish His work. Philippians 1:6 says this, that we are confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until Christ Jesus comes. Amen. He will never stop until His work is done. And there's a bridge of relationship between you and Him. And that trust is firm. And He welcomes you into His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would help us just to receive this word today. God, it's so important that we learn to trust You. And some of us, if we knew what it would take to build that trust, we wouldn't even want to go because it's hard. But God, You are faithful. You are faithful. You're the only way. The disciples said to You, Jesus, where are You going? We don't know where You're going and we don't know the way. As Jesus said, I'm going to be leaving. They didn't know where He was going. But Jesus responded, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. God, because You've built the bridge for us, help us to walk in that faith. Help us to stretch out that string. Help us to fly that kite every day and to continue until we get stronger. Move us, God, from strength to strength this week. We love You so much, Lord. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You for being here today. We love you. Get stronger. Amen. And if you're new, go get some cookies. Come on. They're good.